Today, if you would turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Some of you are saying, what? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. While you're turning there, see if you guys can help me out. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... That was powerful. Thank you. We're not even going to do it twice. That was great. Just leave it alone when it's good. Ecclesiastes, if you go to the Psalms, if you go past that, past Psalms, you'll find Ecclesiastes and past Proverbs. And it's written by the son of King David, Solomon, according to most scholars. A few others will debate that, and there's always going to be somebody debating any truth out there, no matter what, or debating anything. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is where we'll be mostly today. We'll reference a few other scriptures, but that's where we'll be today. Let's pray before we get started, can we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful facility you have allowed us to be in. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this beautiful assembly today. Lord, we open the doors. We open the doors to you today. Fill this place today. Fill the place with this, with your love. In your spirit today, Lord, touch these people today, no matter where they are, high or low, touch them and take them to another level today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love getting into the Word of God and discovering different areas and different truths. And sometimes you can read things 3 and 5 times over and all of a sudden something stands out to you. And so I hope that happens today if you've read this before. And I challenge you to do that. Right before we get started, I do want to remind you, Ground Zero, they have a slide up there. They have some information in your bulletin about a mission they're trying to do to gather items for the homeless. Please take note of that. Get with Andrew or Chelsea if you have a question about that. Or any of the youth group members, get with any of them and help them out. Get those as quickly as you can to them so that they can help those less fortunate, those that are in need and don't have a home where they can provide some of those necessary items for them. All right, Ecclesiastes, strange book for a number of reasons. How it goes up and down, the highlights. Solomon's trying to figure out what's going on in life. Many of us probably wonder the same thing. What in the world is going on in life? I was up, then I was down, or I was down, and all of a sudden I'm up. How did that happen? And Solomon's going through trying to figure out what happened here. What in the world happened? It's a strange book for the ups and downs. It's a strange book for the readings that he says, I've done this, and it's over a period of time. It's a strange book just by the name alone. Amen? If I asked you guys to repeat that, it'd be like, pass it on to the next person. There's no telling what we'd end up with when we get done with this book by calling it Ecclesiastes. I'm sure we get elastic something out of it. And in verse 1, let's just read through here. And we're going to be reading through verse 1 through 7 today is what we're going to focus on. And I want you to listen carefully to what it says and read carefully what it says in your Bible. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. We're going to circle back and boom around back to that one specifically. Do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. We'll come back to that as well. We'll come back to all this, so I better just quit saying that. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams, and many words, there is also vanity. And then it ends with this, but fear God. But fear God. Many people literally preach, fear God. And they say, man, you've got to just be scared of him. When it says fear God in this, it's not talking about be afraid of him. It's talking about fear God in a sense of reverence. Show reverence when in the presence of God, when speaking to God. The purpose here is to have reverence, to respond to him as God correctly, in a right manner. in awe and wonder. Come before Him humbly, in humility, not a boastful, prideful way. Fear God. And I think in this nation and in the church these days, we don't preach fear God. And I think we lose that when we don't fear God, when we don't come before Him with awe and wonder and in reverence, in a reverent manner. So let's go back to verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. That's a strange, interesting warning. And you're going to church, great. Be careful. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God. The translation here literally means guard your feet. I can imagine if we had a warning sign, you know, caution wet floor, caution remodel in progress. Can you imagine coming through the doors of the church and says, caution, guard your feet as you walk in today. Guard your feet. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Pretty powerful. We better be careful. Guard our feet and watch where they go. But we have a plan right there. His word. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In Hebrews 4, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the word of God. And it is what? It is living and powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful. It comes alive. It has power in what it says and how we use it. We have to be very careful how we use the Word of God. It's saying we have to walk prudently into the house of the Lord to come in and worship Him. Why would we have to be careful coming into the house of the Lord to worship Him? We should be able just to come in and not have to worry about anything. You don't think the devil's standing outside trying to lock those doors? The devil's at your home locking the doors and you can't unlock it from the inside. He gives you all kinds of reasons not to attend. You're tired. You've worked 6 days. You've worked 7 days. You got to go to work tonight. By the way, you've gone the last 51 weeks. Skip the 52nd week. Now, I get there's various vacations and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about excuses, and that's exactly what this says. God doesn't want to hear your excuse. Guard your feet. He goes on to say in verse 1, draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. And I didn't give the background of all this stuff, but they're bringing their sacrifices. And they're saying, I will give this, I will pledge this, I will do this. Those things become oaths. And they're like swearing, I will do this. Many of you may have a landlord, a bank, a finance company for your cars, and you say, I will pay X amount on this day. You know, I meant to pay. Checks in the mail, one of those things. I ran into some trouble this month. It was called everything else but responsibility. I blew it on gadgets, I blew it on toys, I blew it on clothes, I blew it on drinking, smoking, gambling, whatever it is. I'm a little short. Can you spare me a couple extra days? Can you float me a month? Can you just let this one slide? God says, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Draw near to hear rather than give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Many times in just doing life, we don't realize we do evil either. I said back around Christmas time that God came into the world to be our new sacrifice. He came into the world to take our place and take the punishment for our sins. But He also came to be light and show us, every one of us, Jesus was sent to show us sin in our life. People think, oh man, I never thought about that. Jesus wants to point that out. He's going to bring it to light. He met the woman at the well. Hey, I know how many husbands you've had. And by the way, the one you're with now, that's not your husband. You're just sleeping with him. But He didn't point it out in front of a group of people. And other times He did. groups of Pharisees. You guys are all alike, you're hypocrites. But he came to show us the light that it may reflect and show us where sin is in our life. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel, he gives a great history actually and talks about Samuel hearing the word of God and Saul becoming the king, and God didn't want him to become king, and God didn't like the way he handled certain things. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, he said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king." What does that mean? It says he doesn't care how much we bring to him. If we're not being obedient, we're missing the boat. "Has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" No. He wants to hear you obey his voice. And God has told us, myself included, many times, do this or do that. And what do we say? That's really humiliating. I don't want to do that. Needless to mention, it's difficult at best. I don't want to do that. And so we don't heed his voice. We pray the Lord's Prayer, maybe. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, just not with me, but all them. Thy will be done for them." We're praying the prayer. Thy will be done. Here on earth. Is his will being done? Well, this wise man, Solomon, says, I think we're missing this here. I think we're missing it. We do these things, and we don't know that we do evil. Saul was offering up excuses when Samuel asked him. Saul said, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. By the way, I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, they took of the plunder and the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And that's when Samuel said that to him. And Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned and transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Any of us never done anything because we feared the people and their voice? What will they think? We wonder that sometimes in our own families. What will my mother or father think if I testify, if I glorify him in the household? What will my spouse think if they're not on the same page and we have a difficult time being open with each other and talking about God and where we are in our spiritual walk? He said, "Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said, "Forget it. It's not happening. It's not happening. Because you did these things and you went against the word of God. And I hear you with your voice, but you didn't do those things. Your actions said different." We have those in the church, I'll be there. They said they'd be here. I guess we'll start without them. Move on. I'm talking about the church universal. It may apply to prayer, faith, world outreach. If it does, just fix it. If it's you, fix it. That's all God's saying. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But Samuel said, no, I'm not doing this. He said, take me back. Let me be king. Please forgive me. Samuel said, the Lord doesn't want to do this. And he says, he begged him again. Samuel turned around to go away, and Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. Imagine those words. Sorry, you can't have this, God said. I'm giving it to your neighbor. They're better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he is not a man that he should relent. And Saul said, I have sinned, yet please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. And Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. We oftentimes wonder, why did so-and-so get this and get that? I applied for this job. My friend applied for it. Why did they get it? I go to church. But why are their blessings multiplied? I pray once or twice a year. Why does God not bless me in those things? Well, because your friend is praying once or twice a day and more. I open my Bible every Sunday if I remember to bring it to church. Why is God blessing them? Because they open their Bible every day and they study it, and they don't wait for someone to stand in front of them and teach them and say the words that are in there and explain the meaning. They do that themselves. And God says, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your neighbor because they are better. That's pretty scary coming from the Lord. But he says that. He says, man, I want you to be obedient more than I want you to bring a sacrifice. He's not saying, don't bring the sacrifice. Listen carefully. He is not saying, don't bring that sacrifice unless you can be obedient. He's saying, man, I want both. Bring your sacrifice that I've asked you to bring, but really, I'd rather have your obedience. But ultimately, I want both. Because I see in the minds of people thinking, I can't quite be obedient, so I better hold back my sacrifice of tithing, money maybe, until I can be obedient. Thank you, the church now suffers even more than it is. Because now we've held back thinking, if I can't be obedient, might as well not give the sacrifice. No, he still wants that sacrifice. He just wants that obedience. Also, it says in verse 1, draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. I want to be real careful. In James it says, do not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And this is saying, come and hear it at least. Don't just do this. He wants you to hear and do. He wants both of those things again to come together. They've got to come together. So Saul didn't get the blessing from Samuel until the end, but he finally gave in. I said, man, I'm going to worship your God. I want to worship Him, and I want to follow Him. And then He could have the blessing. You know, we all have excuses. We do. My excuse growing up, I can prove the point real simply today. I didn't do it. You see, where'd my twin go? It was my twin. Great, he stepped out. It was my twin. That was an excuse I had. I can't use that quite as much anymore. But we all have excuses. By the way, some of us have perfected them. We've honed them into a great skill and art of excuses. Some of us actually believe in those excuses that we throw out. But I want to tell us, when we talk about sacrifice, the things that He's asking us to give and be obedient with, they're really not ours to begin with, are they? Oh, it was silent. I expected some debate. Elbowing, pointing, something. The things that God has given us really are not ours to begin with. He gave them to us to be good stewards of them. And God says, man, it's not yours. I need you to release it. I've told you to release it. I need you to release it. And don't think I'm just talking about money. I'm not. It's your time. God says, man, quit holding that back. It's your talent. Man, you have talent to give to the church. You have talent to give to other people. Your possessions. Got some people that need some clothes. Well, I don't fit this anymore. They can have those. I don't fit this. This is old and raggedy. I don't wear it anymore. They can have that. What keeps us from taking a nice suit and saying, still fits me. It's really pretty new. Maybe they could have this. Because they won't be able to buy this and get this on their own. So it's our possessions. It is our money also. But listen to what it is also. That He says, you don't need to keep this. Really, it was never yours to have. It's your anger. It's your hurt. It's your pride. It's your selfishness. For some, it may be your hobbies, your habits, your addictions, your sins, your complaining, your whining. All those things. We just look at a big thing. But God says, really, none of this stuff was yours to hang on to. Some people here today have held on to those things for years. For years they've hung on to those. And God says, man, I just need you to release it to me. And I get that some of those things are pretty heavy. And we said quite some time back about the, you know, when you do that, and you pull your hands out, they're stuck and you can't open your fingers for a while. And our grip has been so tight that we just can't release that. We want to, we just can't. I went to the dentist several times over the last couple of weeks trying to get my hockey tooth fixed and replaced. And they put various gels in there, and you got to keep it clamped just as tight as you can for so many minutes. And then they say, open your mouth. And what happens? Go ahead, open your mouth. You're trying, but it's stuck. And these things that we carry around, our talent, we're scared to death to give it up. If I give up the talent, they may want it more often than I want to give it. And that grip is tight. We're white-knuckled. If I gave them some of my possessions, they may come to me next time they need something. And they may ask for that as well. We all know the big one. Churches, all they do is ask for money. It doesn't happen on its own. Light's burning. But if I give generously, they may think I can always give generously. I may be the star donor, the golden plaque giver at church. We don't have one of those, by the way, and I don't know who that is in this church if we had one. But then there's those other things, the anger and the hurt, the selfishness, the pride. I'm convinced on Youth Sunday they've messed this ear thing up and I can't use it anymore. I'm just kidding, Andrew. But I apologize, I've been playing with this thing all day and it just keeps floating around my big ear. But there's all those things. It could be, again, our hobbies and habits. Are they consuming you and your time and taking away time from your children and your family? But those other things, the anger and the hurt, those are things that eat away. And God says, I need you to give this up. Verse 2 says, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. It says, God's in heaven and you're on earth. Let your words be few. We've got to be careful in our commitments. We may say, hey, I can do this, I can do this. Commit to time, commit to organizations, youth activities, sports activities, band activities, in school, all those things going on. There's PTAs or PTOs or whatever they call it these days. There's all these different things. Oh, there's a neighborhood association. I could be a part of that. Then we can start chasing and being officers in those various clubs. And he says, do not be rash with your mouth. Are you quick to offer yourself up? I used to work with a guy like that. Constantly said, I can do this. I'll be there. Yeah, I can do this. I can do this. Yeah, I'll be there. Wait a minute. You told me this would be an hour. You just told your wife you'd be home in 15 minutes. Which is it going to be? And I knew what it was going to be, and it wasn't his wife. He was going to stay there, but he left his wife out hanging. And he committed and committed and committed to do things, but he didn't have the time to do that. So our time gets all crazy with us. And then finances. Some people commit to finance. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And we get ourselves into financial trouble. What are the motives behind this? And that's what God's saying here. What are the motives? Or Solomon's really saying, what are our motives? If he's telling us to walk prudently when we go into the house of God, it says, guide your feet when you go to worship. What's your purpose? Is it to look good? Is it to feel good? Is it to serve God? Is it to learn more about Him? What is the reason? What is your motive behind that? Why do we commit our time and things and money in places? Is it to look good? Again, we want to look good in front of other people. They may judge us. A lot of times we commit and do things for all the wrong reasons. It may be good, and it may be generous, but we're doing it for the wrong reasons. Verse 4 and 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay that vow. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. The Bible goes on further in the New Testament. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Amen? Don't commit to someone in something and not show up and then come with your list of excuses why you weren't there. It's better to say, I don't think I can be there. And then if you can, great, show up. It's just an added bonus and a blessing. It's certainly not a blessing when someone says, I'll be there. You show up and they're not there. And that's exactly what verse 6 says. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. God doesn't want to hear our excuses. He doesn't want us busying ourselves. Listen carefully, I've said it before and I'll say it again. He does not want us busying ourselves with church work. Church work is attending here and doing nothing but other than attending and being here. He doesn't want us to busy ourselves with that. He wants us to busy ourselves with doing the work of the church. Can we go out and love other people? Can we go out and help the homeless like the youth are trying to do? That's the work of the church and not church work. Matthew 7:16 says, "You will know them by their fruits." He warned against false prophets in the house of God. That's why we have to guard our feet when we walk into worship. We've got to watch out for false prophets. They're dressed right and they're dressed looking like leaders and teachers. But it says, "You will know them by their fruits." What does their life say? What does their home life say? What does their work life say? What do their friends say? And what does their family say? Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. What is your sacrifice? And why are you giving it? What is your sacrifice and why are you giving it? Today, God may be reminding you or telling you. I say reminding because He may have told you for the last several years and you haven't done it. So He may be reminding you again or telling you today for the first time, put this down and give it to me. Your pains, your hurt, your hurts, addictions, habits, wants, desires, they don't have to be bad or evil for God to want to remove them from your life right now because it takes away from another area. And He's calling every one of us to submit and commit to Him. We talked a few weeks ago, freedom comes when you submit to God. Those chains break away when you submit to God. You can't have freedom while you're still chained in one corner. It just doesn't happen. As we close today, I want you to listen very carefully to what God is telling you to do. And He's saying, "I want obedience more than I want your sacrifice of whatever it is." You may be giving your time and your talent. At men's breakfast yesterday, many people with talent came up here and gave of their time and their talent. And I thank you for that. I said, "I don't have many talents, but man, I can give my time and I'll be there. Just tell me what to pick up and I can drag it somewhere." I did say, so long as it's not too heavy, but I'm just saying. What is your sacrifice and why are you giving it up? Let's pray. God, as we come before You today, my prayer is simple. What would You have me? What would You have me lay down today and give to You? And that same question for everybody in here. What would You have all of us, God, lay down today and give it to You? As we read Your Word today, when we make a vow to You, we are not to delay to pay it. Today, as our heads are bowed and we're praying, if that's you today, and God is telling you, it's time to lay it down, set it down, I simply want you to stand up where you are. That He can count you, that you can be accountable to others and to Him. Maybe you've said you'd do it before, but He says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. If that's you today, would you stand up right where you are? If you're not able to stand, would you simply raise your hand so that we can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Lord, I'm looking for freedom today. I'm looking for freedom from sin, from hurt, from pain, from suffering. Church, if you've made a vow, do not delay to pay it. Stand up at this time, if that's you. If it's you today, stand up. You don't have to tell anyone what that is. You may be fearing other people and what they may think of you. Showing a sign of weakness, maybe. Could be your hurt, again, your addictions, your habits, your desires. Maybe you're holding on to your time or your money, your talent, your gift that He's given you. Father, I thank You for these brave souls today, Lord, that have stood up and or raised their hand. Lord, their obedience is what You desire, and they've given that to You. God, I ask blessings on them as they work to change those areas of their life, that they listen to You. God, help us all as we go out this week to be salt and light to those we come in contact with. Lord, help guide our words towards one another, our actions towards one another, Lord. That we may be men and women of peace and gentleness and kindness, Lord. That they may know us by our fruits and where those areas are lacking in our life, Lord, and need help. Lord, would You give us strength in those areas? To learn to be nice to one another. To learn to say good things to one another. God, I thank You for this church and this church body. Bless us as we go out this week and come in contact with the world, with other believers, and with the enemy. Help keep us strong, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.